Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are so happy to have you with us this morning. We're going to be talking very shortly with Mary DeTouris Post. She is the author of Cravings. Yes, I think that's how you say it. Let me see if I can add her to our Skype. Taking a big chance. Might lose everything.
Are you there?
I am, Mary. We are live on the air. It's so nice to have you with us this morning. We're going to talk about your new book today. Your new book. It's a couple years old, but your new initiative. Again, welcome to the show, Mary DeTouris Post.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here with us this morning.
I'm so glad to be with you again. Sorry about that. My clock was running slow in my office.
That mine is never on the same as the producer of our show. And I tried a few times to catch you on Skype, but you know what? The technology of our day is just making life, so much easier. Not. Well, it's great to have you. And I'm saying we're going to talk about your new initiative, Cravings, based on your book, Cravings, which we covered in 2015. Wonderful book from Ave Maria Press. One of my favorites. Absolutely life-changing. So tell us a little bit about why you're calling this, I love it, a revolution and not a resolution, and a little bit of what the Cravings tribe is all about.
Okay. Well, I was never one to make resolutions. I'm just not a New Year's resolution kind of person. And I think it's because of the fact that I know they don't really stick. So, and also the way it's set up is you make a resolution and then 3 days in you break your resolution and then you're basically off the hook and, well, I'll do it again next year or something like that. And so we're looking for something deeper, something that's going to last. And Cravings, when I wrote Cravings originally, I sort of went through the process as I wrote. I was living what I was writing, and I could feel it making a difference. And because of changes in my own life, a new job, a new office, things that have really changed the way I live my daily life, I felt like I needed to go back and recapture that. And what better way to do it than with a community? Because I thought that it would make it easier to journey with other people. And so then I threw out the idea of let's make a tribe, and people like that idea. So we're off and running.
I think that accountability is huge. I think you've really stumbled across something. You know, I joined Weight Watchers last May, and I know that it's not really the diet plan that works. It's not tracking is important. We're going to talk a little bit about that later in the show, but I know that it is knowing I'm not alone in the process and, you know, sharing my struggles and my triumphs with others who are on that same journey. So how has the Cravings tribe gone? How's it going?
It's going really well. It's, I think there's a lot of people out there who are following along sort of anonymously that we don't hear from directly, but there's over 100 who are actually technically signed up, which is nothing more basically than filling out a form that has an email and your location so I can figure out where people are. And I think people are liking the idea that they can talk to each other, that they can post something and say, I was feeling this way and I thought I was the only one feeling this way, or sharing their success stories, like where I talked a little bit about being too much a perfectionist. Someone came back on and sort of said, I never had, that wasn't one of my issues, and then talked about sort of her self-acceptance and how she came to that place. So it's not just everybody talking about the things they're struggling with, but also sharing the things that are working for them and giving everybody a place to feel like, exactly what you're saying, they're not alone. Because I think that that's sort of, so whenever I write something that's sort of more vulnerable or that talks about my own struggles, that's usually when I hear from people. That people email me or contact me and say, I thought I was the only one who felt like this. So I think that companionship on the journey and the accountability really makes a difference. And we do have a critical mass in upstate New York in our little tribe. So I'm hoping that it may turn into an actual in-person meeting at some point before we finish this little journey.
That's important, I think, you know, to come together. And I love that connection between social media and online, which is such a gift to reach out people that you would never normally meet or get to know, but also that intimacy of getting to be with each other face to face, the hugs, the being able to look in people's eyes and be like, you know what, when you said this, it really touched me. And, you know, where are you at? And just that connecting. I love that idea. So let's back up a little tiny bit and tell us a little bit about what the book Cravings is all about.
So Cravings is really looking at the ways that we use, in this case, food, but really if you have other issues, you could substitute this process or these principles mm-hmm. for whatever that is. But in this case, specifically food, how we use that often to fill a void in our life where yes. we really want something else. We want a relationship with God. We want self-acceptance. We want, you know, sort of peace and happiness. And it's hard to do those things. That requires some work and some mm-hmm. silence and some quiet. And so it's easier sometimes to just use food to fill that space. And so Cravings is really about, it's not a diet book. It's really about, it talks about food in, you know, significantly throughout, but as you were pointing out at the beginning, it's not necessarily just about monitoring or making lists of how much you're eating. It's not that. It's about looking at why do we feel the way we do and why is that the thing I turn to? And what do I turn to that? When I turn to that, what's going on in my life? Yeah. What else is happening? And I've tried to go back to that journaling that I was doing when I wrote Cravings, to start looking at how am I feeling today? Like, what's my mood like? What's my prayer life like? Did I pray? Did I make time for God? And starting to see the connections between when I don't do that and when I'm struggling with the food piece and maybe just mindlessly scarfing down candy or something like that. And then later being like, what did I eat? Like, you know, yeah. sort of it's gone and you forgot you even ate anything. So yeah. it's really about getting to that deeper place and then looking at how to start accepting ourselves, which can be a really difficult thing for some of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. The candy canes need to get out of the house.
And chocolate kisses for me.
Those are a little bit more easy to get kind of lost in, because with the candy cane, at least, you know, I kind of have an idea of how far I've gotten on it. Candy kisses, especially if you're throwing away the wrappers as you go.
That's right. Yeah.
you can lose track. One of the things you said was mindlessly. One of the things I took away from Cravings when I journeyed with that book 2 years ago, again, for here on A Seeking Heart, my guest today is Mary DeTorres Paust, is mindfulness, the word mindful. And that was huge for me. In fact, that's my word for 2017, is to again be more mindful. Like last night, I shared with my own support group for weight loss, or getting healthier, as we like to say, I had the hungry horrors. And I was just starving. And at the end of the day, I realized, oh, but wait, what was I doing all night? I was watching television. Right. Like, I probably, if I had turned that off and found something else to do, writing or even, you know, being on social media and connecting with people, probably wouldn't have been so apt to fill that void with everything.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I think, for me, the same thing. I start doing too many things at one time. You know, the whole piece of mindfulness, I talk about it in the book, that oftentimes that evokes an Eastern sort of feel. And sometimes people get a little uncomfortable with that, but really that's very much part of our own tradition. You know, again, in the book, I talk a lot about looking to the monastics for sort of the template of how we do things, setting our day to a sacred rhythm, setting our life to sacred seasons, which our church gives us and provides a template for feasting and fasting throughout the year. We sort of have the template there to be more mindful from our Catholic tradition. And yet the world is always pushing us to do things, to do too many things at once. And I'm guilty of that too. And I find that now that I am in an outside office where I used to work at home as a writer, and now I'm working for the Diocese of Albany in an office every day outside of the home, I find that I've really lost track of my own mindful habits, and I have not figured out yet what the new normal is. And that's sort of why I had to redo Cravings, because I think our habits are so ingrained. It's very easy to slip back onto the old track when we get overwhelmed by the other stuff in our life.
Yeah. one of the things with Weight Watchers is that they call themselves repeat offenders, which I am. I am one of. This is my third try at it. But I think the difference this time for me is realizing that these habits, and that's what they are, habits didn't happen overnight. They're not going to be they're not going to be fixed overnight. And even that whole adage of it takes 21 days to start a new habit, I'm not even giving myself that thought process, because I know it takes 1 second to go back. But I'm looking at, here I'm 48 years old, like from here on, how do I want to live? What do I want to do? And there's days that I'm very good at it and being very mindful. And there's days that I struggle. And I'm sure that that's also part of the process for most people. Do you think?
Yes. I recently blogged about being willing to be a beginner over and over again, that, it's easy to beat ourselves up and say, I kind of messed up, like I was saying, with a resolution. If by mid-January you failed at your resolution, you sort of just let it go. And then in 2018, you'll make the same resolution. Whereas this idea that we are going to kind of progress a little bit and maybe slip back, but we just have to start over and be a beginner again and always be willing to do that. And I think once we become aware of it, I always say, even when I'm not doing my mindful oatmeal, which was my practice that sort of formed there for a while, even when I'm not doing it, I'm aware of it. And so I'm more aware of when I'm not being mindful somehow that it's there. So I think we're always still making progress, if we want to classify it that way, even when we're kind of slipping off the track because of the fact that we've gone there in the first place. We've done that journey and we know what it feels like. And so we know when we go off track and kind of have the tools to bring ourselves back on if we just give ourselves a little time. And I think that's part of the problem, which is that we see ourselves as the ones who get sort of the leftover time, and there's usually not leftover time.
Speaking of time, Mary, actually, we're coming to the end of this segment. Can you stay for a little bit in the next segment, or do we have to say goodbye to you?
Oh, sure, I'll stay.
Excellent. We're talking this morning with Mary DeTouris-Paust. We're talking about cravings and the new cravings tribe. Don't go anywhere. We have so much more to talk about. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today we are journeying with the book Cravings, and the author, Mary DeTouris-Paust, is with me. She is talking about her revolution for 2017, the Cravings Tribe. Now, Mary, what happens if I become a member or a part of the Cravings Tribe?
Well, basically, it's very low key, not a lot of requirements. I know that there are a lot of requirements. Nobody's going to want to do that. So we're very informal. You can come and go as you want. If you do want to be officially like linked together, so that way I have an email and I can send you an email if there's an event, there's a Join the Tribe link on my blog. You'll see it in the tabs. Other than that, it's mainly we're having the conversation mostly on my blog, not strictly spiritual. So it's not strictlyspiritual.com. Or on my Facebook page, but I do know that some of the people who are in the tribe are not on social media. So we're trying to keep most things focused on the blog itself and then just sharing things over on social media so that most people can go to one location and know that that's where I'll put up posts. And usually on, we're starting every week, we do a different chapter of Craving. So this week we're in chapter 2, and I usually will put up something as we start that next chapter and maybe a practice for people to do and a song to inspire them. So just, and then throughout the week I share things like this. We're posting radio shows and interviews to try to give people that constant input and encouragement, because that's so important, I think, to not just be left out there stranded all alone and just think, what do I do now? So, and I'm encouraging people to either email me through my blog or leave a comment if they have questions. And if they don't have the book and they want to know more, they can do it without the book, but just to feel free to ask me questions.
And speaking of the book, it is currently available through Ave Maria Press. If you use the code CRAVINGS, all in capital, you get 25% off and free shipping. And that is good until January 31st. I am a person who likes to have a book with me. I like the spiritual reading aspect. I love the questions for the journaling because I'm a huge journaler. And, you know, we talked a little bit about tracking, and I think that journaling, and you can call it tracking if you want, you can do your food count, but I love, it's more than just a calorie count. It needs to be what you're feeling when you're eating and what you've chosen to eat. And then it's all about the hindsight. It's not just about tracking it in that moment, but being able to go back. Because I don't know about you, Mary, but I'm really good at lying to myself.
Yes. I know. Isn't that terrible? I agree. It is about the hindsight. I'm nodding. As you're talking, I'm sitting here nodding. Because it's true. You can go back, and then I can go back to the journal I kept when I originally wrote Cravings, because I still have it, and look at that and see the difference between, say, then and now, and be able to go, oh, okay, look, I was doing my mindful practices. I was taking time to walk. I was exercising, which I have to admit I'm not doing now. And that makes a difference in my mood and in my ability to cope with stress and all of those other things. And so I can go back to that journal and see what I was doing and what my diet looked like. Was I eating healthy? Was I, you know, even now I may not eat a lot at certain times, but it's oftentimes not the healthiest food I should be eating. Cause again, I'm now in an office and it's a little more tricky to, you know, when I was home, I could control that much, much better. So, it's kind of interesting for me. I do the same thing to go back, and I'll even list like physical things. Like if I had a headache that day, or if I was feeling more tired that day, because again, it may actually help you later if you're feeling not well physically to go back and look at the difference, like you were saying, talking about allergies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was huge for me. So when I first did the book, I was so sick. I had no idea what was wrong with me. Of course, I'm a hypochondriac, so I expected it to be the absolute worst that it could be. And the mindfulness of like, how am I feeling today? Where is the pain coming from? Is there a trigger before? I was able to, through using reading Cravings and being mindful, I was able to get diagnosed with a gluten allergy and a dairy allergy. And now 2 years later, I do not suffer from those pains and that discomfort, all those issues that I was dealing with. And I know that if I hadn't spent that time being really mindful of, you know, what am I eating and what's the triggers, and it's amazing. And the bottom line, though, sadly, it was menopause. So there's that.
Dang.
Yeah. I'm like, what? I'm too young. Oh, no, I'm not. How we feel on the inside. So apparently I have no problem with self-esteem. So what is up for the tribe this week, week two?
So we're on chapter two, which is talking about dieting delusions, and the food is not the enemy. And I talk a lot about, you know, if we go back and look back on our lives, and mine was mostly when I was much younger, like college age, and you know, you could probably come up with a lot of the crazy different diets that you've used that were probably not healthy, but they were very faddish. And then later in my life, I have done, you know, I've done the Weight Watchers thing, not with meetings, but online, and actually successfully, but also repeat offender, and not to lose a ton, just a little bit. And to sort of get myself more aware of what I was doing, because I think that it does help. It just makes you aware of what you're putting in your mouth and how frequently you find yourself rummaging through the pantry. So we're talking about that idea that a diet is going to fix everything, because oftentimes what we find is we lose the 10 pounds and guess what? We're still the same person, because what we were trying to change really wasn't related to that 10 pounds. It was something else. And so that's a hard thing, though. It's a, you know, it, again, it takes work. It's easier sometimes to convince ourselves if we just count fat grams and calories, it's going to fix everything, because the interior work can be challenging. And I find that myself, especially when I'm under stress, trying to do that interior work and not get pulled into the stress, but to actually, you know, to make that time for prayer and meditation and be meditating on God. instead of meditating on what I need to do at work.
You know, there's also that trap during the dieting, that phase where people start to notice you've lost some weight and they're giving you the compliments and still this affirmation's coming from the outside. And you get to a point where you're going to be, God willing, a healthy weight. You're going to, whatever that is, you're going to be a healthier you. And you may plateau, you may stick, you may decide this is what I want to be. And then people get used to seeing you that way. And the compliments may stop or the outside affirmation stops. So there comes that time for really needing to do the work on the inside. And I'm assuming that that's what's going to happen here as you go forward with your cravings tribe. We're going to start to see more focus and more blogging on the inside work that needs to be done.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because when we started, if you look at like the early posts, there's just like, you know, 50 something comments and everybody's very excited. And then, you know, already this week you could see sort of the drop in it. And, you know, I'm kind of like, hey, everybody, how's everyone doing? Because, you know, there may be that initial adrenaline pump, like, yes, I'm going to do this and it's going to be great. And then you start and it's like, oh, that's right. This is really hard work. And this requires me to, you know, really spend some time in reflection and face to face with myself and with God. And we use, as you probably remember, Psalm 139 is a kind of a refrain throughout the book, you know, wonderfully and fearfully and wonderfully made, how wonderful are your works, and how difficult it can be for some of us to hear that and hear it as applying to ourselves. When I go out and do my retreat talk, Broken, Beautiful, and Beloved, where I talk about that we're all broken and yet we're all beautiful and we're all loved unconditionally by God, I will tell people in the audience that I can look out at them and tell them without question that they may be broken, but they are beautiful and beloved, but that I cannot see it in myself. And I tell them anytime I go give that talk, I'm giving it for myself as much as I'm giving it for them, because I think we are very hard on ourselves. We're harder on ourselves oftentimes than we are to others.
Oh my gosh, I completely agree. It's so funny. Somebody once told me that the best advice you should give is the advice you'd give to yourself is the advice you'd give to other people. So we say the nicest things to other people, yet our own, and you talk about the tape that runs in your head, our own loop is very often very negative, very self-deprecating, but when we talk to other people, we would never think of saying those things to them. We're always thinking of how I can encourage them and how I can and help them. But yet for ourselves, we just always, I mean, I do, I shouldn't talk about everybody else, but I find my lowest common denominator of behavior. And I kind of harp on that for myself.
Yes. No, I'm right there with you. And I think that it is, I often will say, if, you know, I think I wrote something one time and I don't know if it's in Cravings or if it was somewhere else, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. I said, if I love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to be in really big trouble. And that reminds us, that means that we have to start from a place of loving ourselves, because we can't love our neighbor as ourselves if we don't love ourselves on some level, not in a vain way, but in a way that acknowledges that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And so therefore we are loved as we are, that we start from a place of self-acceptance. Mm. And yet I am often like, you know, one of the worst offenders, because the loop in my head is not something I would say to anyone else that I cared about, or even some of my worst enemies. What I say to myself, the loop in my head is, again, that's not something I would ever say to someone else. So why is it okay to say it to myself? And that's sort of, I think, where we have to begin. And that can be a very kind of emotional place to be and a vulnerable place to be.
It can be difficult. Mary, I'm talking today with Mary DeTauris-Pouse. We're getting to the end of our second segment. I know you need to go. Can I ask you to come back again, maybe next Thursday or the Thursday after, to kind of check in with us and see how things are going?
Oh, that would be great. I think as we get farther in too, hopefully we'll have more to talk about because of the fact that we'll be hearing more from other people.
All right. Well, I'll keep everyone up to date of when you're coming back again. But thank you again this morning, Mary DeTauris-Pouse, author of Cravings, Not Strictly Spiritual.com. Thanks, Mary, again for your time.
Thank you.
It was wonderful. I'm going to talk more about cravings. The book, I have it right in front of me. We're going to, you know, journey back and look at some of the things that we talked about back in 2015. And I love that look back. We're going to see where God has brought us today. If you'd like to join the conversation, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Thanks again to Mary DeTorres Pouse for joining me in the first half of the show. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We were joined at the first half of the show with author Mary DeTorres Pouse. She's the author of the book Cravings, A Catholic Wrestles with Food, Self-Image, and God. That is out from Ave Maria Press. If you'd like your own copy until January 31st, it is on sale at AveMariaPress.com. Just put Cravings, all capitals, into the coupon code and you get 25% off the book as well as free shipping. And it is probably one of my most worn out, used, written all over favorite books. When I started the show in 2015, I had all these books on the shelf that I had purchased for myself that I had never I was going to read, but was never really got to. So I just decided that part of the show would, because I, when we first started, as you know, we did the book club. And so each week I would read just one book. And then on that Friday, I would interview the author. And I wanted to do some new books. I thought that was fun. And it was really, I've been very, very blessed with the support of all the Catholic publishers and authors who send me their books to share with you. And that's very amazing for me. But I also wanted to go to some of these other books that have been sitting there. And I knew that they had merit. And this one, just every time I'd go, kind of peeked its little head out and be like, read me, read me. So it's Cravings, A Catholic Wrestles with Food, Self-Image, and God. And I thought, well, that's me. I'm a Catholic. I wrestle with food, definitely my self-image, and now and then with God. Not kind of like Jacob, though, who got completely beat up in the Old Testament. But sometimes I do feel like I'm pretty beat up. But usually that's just with myself, me beating myself up, unfortunately. And so I, 2 years ago, pulled this off and we talked about it. And I'm not exactly sure. I think it was January, honestly, kind of like the same time of the year. And then she came back again last year to share some of her other wonderful books. I can put the links to all those podcasts of the shows, the archives of the shows, if you're interested in them. She's just definitely a kindred spirit. And I think that is a testament to the fact that many of us feel the same way, and we just don't realize others feel the same way because we aren't... We kind of hold these things in, like, I can't say this out loud because I don't want anyone to know that I feel this way about myself, or I'm struggling, or I'm probably the only one who, you know, sits and watches television on a Wednesday night by herself, drinking red wine, eating gluten-free blueberry muffins, not one, not two, but yes, three, smothered in dairy-free butter. And let's see, I ate a candy cane and, oh, I did have two sugar-free popsicles. And then I had peanut butter and bananas. So you see, like, I'm learning how to eat healthy, but those are snacks that I don't, well, the gluten-free muffins with butter, probably not the healthiest choice. The one would have been fine. Three was not necessary. I found them in the freezer. Do you ever, like, okay, so I bake stuff. And then nobody else in the house wants my gluten, dairy-free stuff. So I will freeze it. And then sometimes I will just freeze it so I don't eat all of it. And then I discover it in the freezer as I'm putting away the groceries. And I go, ooh. And they're all individually wrapped. But So this, which is supposed to keep me from eating all three of them at once, but yeah, clearly last night it did not. So we don't say this stuff out loud because we think we're the only ones who are doing it. And then when you read a book like Cravings, and now she's having this Cravings tribe, of which I have joined up to, you can actually check all social media by hashtag Cravings tribe to find it, or hashtag Soul Survivor if you want to, you know, trying to connect with everybody on the internet. In social media, or go right to notstrictlyspiritual.com and follow her blog. She's blogging. Mary is blogging each week per chapter. Anyway, so when I pulled this off last year, I was 2 years ago, I was so sick. I really certainly thought there was something tragically wrong with me. And every day my stomach hurt. I was just a mess and very, very scared. After reading the book, I started to get more mindful about what I was eating and when I was eating it. So for a year, I spent with the book and off and on with a journal. And I think, as Mary and I talked about in the last segment, journaling is so important because it gives us this this kind of, the track to go back, the history to go back and read over and go, oh, well, I ate that when that happens. And, oh, look, there's a cycle here. There's a... it happens quite often. There's a pattern. There's the word. There's a pattern happening here. And I think that helps us to break the patterns. It's the same thing with money. When John and Evelyn Bean were here earlier this month, we talked about tracking our money, our spending. You can't stop bad behaviors if you're not, or bad habits. We'll go with habits. If you're not aware of them, and it's so easy to lie to yourself. And if you're holding it all in and you're not sharing it and nobody else is hearing it and they can't be your truth serum, then writing it down and going back and reading it, after a while, you start to see patterns and you start to realize, wow, that's not okay. And my biggest pattern of eating is, or not just that's not okay, but that this is probably why this is happening. And for me, my biggest pattern of eating comes from procrastination. I had a lot to do last night. I had a lot to do. And I was home alone. Kevin was at Bible study. Faithy was in bed. The boys weren't in. And really, all I needed to do was turn off the television and I would have been busy. My hands would have been busy typing for the writing deadlines I have, or, you know, reading a book or cleaning. There's all kinds of stuff that needed to be done. But instead, I procrastinated and I watched television. And once I start to watch television, well, I get hungry because it's meant that way. That's commercials. And I was watching Shark Tank, which is my new addiction. And everything, like, they're showing these new cookies. I'm like, before I know it, I'm sitting there with just a spoon in my hand and whatever, you know, I can get from the refrigerator or the cabinets. And I didn't track any of it, which is kind of the secret with Weight Watchers, is this tracking system. We have a handy dandy app that we use, and but you have to use it. And when you track it and it gives you this accountability, and you start to see, oh, wow, that was, you know, we don't count calories, it counts points. Well, if you're trying to lose weight, you can only have so many points in a week. It's not like they're trying to restrict you. It's just that you've asked them to help you to lose weight. And losing weight means less calories in and more, more exercise for more calories out. I did get to walk yesterday because it was 50 degrees here in New England, which was awesome. And I walked for nearly an hour, but then I think I ate about 4 hours worth of food in the evening. This book, Cravings, really did help me recognize that gluten was not a friend of my body. I don't have celiac disease, but I definitely have a gluten intolerance. And just to test it, because that's what I do, because I don't always believe myself, just to test it, during Christmas time, I decided, after not having any gluten for a good 3 months and feeling fantastic, I decided that, well, one cookie here, one cookie there, here a cookie, there a cookie, everywhere a cookie, cookie. I'm a cookie monster, love cookies, as you can tell. How many times can I say cookie in one segment? Apparently 10 to 20. I'm starting, so I did this for a week or so, and I felt like I wasn't going overboard, but apparently any amount is overboard. and that wasn't a good idea. Yeah. So I'm starting to feel a little bit of those effects. So it's time. I just read on the internet, it takes, it can take anywhere from 3 to 4 months or 16 weeks to get the gluten back out of your system. And I'm the person who really thought this gluten thing was hogwash. I made fun of people. Careful what you, how you treat others, because the Lord will teach you a lesson. No, I don't think he gave me the gluten allergy to teach me a lesson, but I do think it is this wonderful thorn in my side that even though I've asked the Lord several times to get rid of, it is still here, but it keeps me dependent on him. It gives me something to sacrifice and offer up for others. And it's one thing about a pain and suffering is that you can't, you can do anything you want. It's so much more purposeful when we offer it back to God instead of complaining and being sad and being like, I can't have sweet bread or I can't have regular muffins. I obviously found muffins I like. But to say, you know what, Lord, there's so many crosses that I could be carrying. And this one is Allison sized. And yes, it means that I have to eat less and I have to exercise more to stay healthy. And some people don't have to do that, but that's my cross. And in it, it draws me closer to him because I pray the rosary when I walk. And the sacrifice of not being able to eat whatever I want, whenever I want, teaches me such great virtues of temperance and prudence and self-control. Self-control is a good thing and something that I really struggle with. We come back, we're going to look a little bit more. I'm going to actually read from the book Cravings. Well, not just going to read. We're going to talk about some of the great things from chapters 1 and 2, at least, from Cravings. If you want to know more, go to notstrictlyspiritual.com. My guest earlier this morning, Mary DeTauris Post, is blogging about the Cravings tribe, this revolution of coming together and journeying together to eat better, to be more mindful, and in the end, to love ourselves more. Again, she talked about loving others as you love yourself. Well, that's easy for me because often I don't love myself, but that's not what God calls me to do. He wants me to love others, and that includes me, to love myself, to love who I am and how I look and how he created me to be. Because God doesn't make mistakes. So my body shape, my height, my eye color, all in God's hands. We come back, we'll talk more about cravings. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We were joined earlier today by Mary DeTauris Post. She is the author of Cravings, A Catholic Wrestles with Food, Self-Image, and God, out from Ave Maria Press. If you'd like your own copy, it's on sale right now until January 31st. AveMariaPress.com. Use the code word cravings and you get 25% off and free shipping. Pretty cool deal, if you ask me. And Mary has launched for 2017 what she's called a revolution, not a resolution. It's this goal just to get healthier, to take care of ourselves, to love ourselves more, and journeying together. And she's calling it a cravings tribe. You can go to notstrictlyspiritual.com for more information on that. For the rest of today's show, we're going to just look a little bit at cravings. I have notes all over it from when I studied it in 2015. So it's kind of fun now to go back and to look at her advice and how I took it, how I didn't, and to share that with you. In the prologue, there's a paragraph in here that I really love. Mary writes, as we begin to explore the undeniable connection between spiritual nourishment and physical nourishment, we will constantly look toward the Eucharist, toward Christ, as our grounding point, our center in the storm of food obsession. weight gain and loss, and plain old slow self-esteem. And I love that she connects the Catholic faith, which she writes is a faith centered on a meal. Eucharist is Thanksgiving, the liturgy. The Eucharist is a feast. It's a banquet with the bread of life, where we come together to receive Christ in the Eucharist, bread bought in the form of bread, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I talked all about on yesterday's show about adoration and my love of the Eucharist and why I find that connection to it so a center in my faith and the transformation, the conversion that my understanding and growing closer to the Eucharist had in my life. I shouldn't say the word understanding, because my whole point yesterday that we can't understand it. We don't need to understand it to embrace it. And with cravings, it's what she does. You know, she just talks about there's a lot of things we don't understand, but if we spend time with God probing ourselves, then we will find the core and the center of a lot of the behaviors and the choices and the way that we feel about ourselves. You know, getting to the root of things is the best way to get them out. One of my favorite flowers, yes, it's a flower, is a dandelion. My husband's like, it's a weed. No, it's a flower. And I don't care what he says. But one of the things I love about the dandelion is its roots are so impenetrable that it's tenacious. It's really hard to get rid of. And if you like a nice lawn, that's kind of annoying. If you're somebody who could care less about the lawn and just really like pretty yellow flowers, it makes for a very pretty thing to have everywhere and for it to be tenacious. And that's, I really relate very well to that dandelion, because roots can be deep and strong and you want to keep them, but sometimes those roots can also be entwined in those roots can be things that are not so good and things that we need to pluck out of our life. But a dandelion, you can't just pick it and throw it away, because the roots are very, very tenacious or very deep. And so in order to root out the problem, sometimes we have to go pretty deep. We have to dig it up and get to the very bottom of the root, very bottom of the problem, so that we can be free of it. My husband loves that analogy when I talk about getting rid of the dandelions, but not going to happen in my yard. So what is it that you think perhaps is keeping you stuck where you are, maybe keeping you from eating healthier, taking care of yourself? You know, young moms, it can be very hard to put yourself first, because you have so much responsibility. You know, I remember being a young mom when my boys were really little, but they were older when I brought Faithy home. They're only 3 years apart. And then I was running a full-time daycare center out of my home, trying to keep track of my house at the same time. You know, you have laundry that's never ending that Sarah and Reinhardt and I talked about on Monday. Laundry never ends, dishes never end. People always want to be fed. What's up with that? You don't always make the best choices for food. I know for me, I grew up with that, you know, being told all the time, you know, eat what's on your plate. There's people starving in China. So I even brought home one from China. No, she's not starving anymore. Yet I still felt for a very long time, like if the kids left food on their plate, I needed to, you know, throw it to eat it. I couldn't throw it away. That was sacrilege. And I didn't know for a very long time that there was a message that there was some memories around food that would be triggers, and they would bring real, real sadness to me, like being yelled at to finish my food by my dad and my grandfather. And I don't think they were thinking, oh, I'm going to give this girl an eating disorder. They were hardworking men from a generation, a very, very different generation, who also was told that same message, you don't waste food. You know, like wasting food is wasting money. So they were just trying to, you know, make sure that their hard-earned money didn't go to waste. And unfortunately, that's not how me as a little girl internalized it. I internalized it that you had to finish what's on your plate, that, you know, it was never really told anything very good. good about myself. I was a chunky kid. I remember being made fun of for being a chunky kid. Then I, you know, got to a point where I was old enough to quote unquote control it myself and found diet pills and got very, very thin, in high school. And it's this whole roller coaster. Like, I think that's the perfect, analogy for weight loss. And I think many of us can picture ourselves on that roller coaster ride when it comes to healthy eating, exercise, weight, size, how we feel about ourselves. And now at this age, I really just want to be at a place physically where I feel comfortable and healthy, that I'm able to take care of now that my kids are older, but I still have to take care of them. I still need to take care of my home. I want energy to run a business and to bring God's message to the world as best that I can. And I'm sure, you're feeling the same way. What is the root? Where did it come from? How do I handle it today? What are my obstacles from being a healthier me? There's so much involved in this. So I'm going to join the cribe. Try that again. I have already joined the cravings tribe, and we're going to journey along with Mary. She'll be back again, I think, next Thursday, and maybe for the whole month of January. I think that might be a good idea. And if you want to join me here and you want to share your journey with food, with health, with exercise, write down this number, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We're going to talk about this next Thursday as well. Maybe I can convince Mary to come back. I know she'll be back at least one of the next Thursdays. I know she has a full-time job, so getting her to take a few minutes is not easy, but hopefully we can convince her to come back again. If you have any questions you want me to address during this month of Thursday cravings tribe discussion, you know, drop me a line. That didn't come out at all in any kind of voice that I normally use. Drop me a message at aseekinghearts@breadboxmedia.com. I'm going to be blogging, that's the word, blogging about this over at reconciledtoyou.com. You know, this is a part of my journey as well. You know, since starting cravings in 2015, I have dropped 20 pounds. I still have a few to go, not too many, but I'm up and down. I plateau, I lose, I gain. I'm still a yo-yo girl. I'm still on that roller coaster. Obviously, there's still things that need to be rooted out. There's still, and I think this is a lifelong thing. It took me a lifelong here to get here. It might take me much more than just 2 years to get to the bottom of all of it and to find myself, my new self, my healthier self. And I hope you'll take this trip with us, either at Not Strictly Spiritual with Mary DeTouris Pouse, one of my favorite people. I love her writing. I love her her insights and her sense of humor. And you know, at the bottom of all of this is knowing that we're not alone. It feels so good to know that somebody else, it's not like misery loves company. Okay, yeah, misery loves company. Who am I kidding? Misery loves company. But also, triumph loves company too. So let's triumph together. Let's, you know, stay connected either through Not Strictly Spiritual, Mary DeTouris Pouse website, or Reconciled to You, of course, or here on A Seeking Heart. Next Thursday, we will pick back up with, cravings and the cravings tribe. I'm so excited to be joining into this. And as my Weight Watchers journey continues, like, the more tools you have in your tool bag, I think the better your product is going to come out. And the product is you. So we need God center and foremost, you know, spending more time in adoration, prayer, sacraments, scripture. We're going to be talking a lot about that this year. And looking at other people on the journey and spending some time with cravings. We talked a little bit about with Mary, how there's a void and we're trying to fill that void. And what are we using? So that's kind of getting to the root, spending some time journaling or prayer. What is causing me to make poor choices or not find time for myself? And to get out of the diet trap. It's not a diet, except for the fact that a diet means the food that you eat. It's about being the healthiest you can be and loving who you are. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.